looked this morning at the Word of God, I'd like to look at the purpose of a sermon. And it's not always the same purpose when you look at the world and what's been used. But Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And it truly has been that all of our life. When you think about the decisions you've made, the various things that you've done to be right with God, it's because of what the Bible has taught you, and we appreciate that so very much. Misunderstanding is often by the audience. I'm not accusing anyone here of this, but sometimes when you look at preaching across the world, the sermon is to entertain. I remember one denomination preacher that slid down a rope into the audience like he was flying in. And I guess that was entertaining to some of them anyway. And it shouldn't reprove or rebuke, because we want everybody to feel good and happy. It should never expose an error, because people won't come back, they say. Of course, Joel Osteen and his crowd, they never draw the line against any error. So when you look at the purpose of preaching, it's misunderstood many times. And always it should make them feel good. I remember the sign down in Florida of the happy face. And this was the insignia of this woman's church, where she made people feel good all the time. And that's the way some of them look at it. And it should agree with their beliefs. That is, most of them have a creed, and they have to be sure that they understand that creed and teach it through the sermon. But it should be short. And I don't know exactly how long a sermon ought to be. The way I do it, I have something to say, and when I get through saying it, I sit down. And I'm hoping that not too many find it easy to sleep during that period of time. But sometimes the preacher misunderstands the entertaining jokes and stories. And I do recognize that sometimes humor has a place if it's very pointed with regard to a sermon that's being used, but it's not necessarily for entertaining people. And it's not just to stir the audience to an emotional state. I attended a funeral one time in North Carolina. A young teenage boy had been killed in a car wreck. And during the funeral, the preacher did everything he could to arouse emotions of the family. And the mother got so emotionally disturbed, she fainted. And that's not the purpose of preaching. And when people do that sort of thing, they're not hiding behind the cross of Christ. And again, the preacher says it should never expose error. And yet, if you love God to the same degree that you love God, I believe you're going to hate error, and you have to speak out against it. And it causes the audience to praise Him. Well, not necessarily. That's not the reason why you should preach. And it has to be without end to be eternal. So long sermons are sometimes used. And I know sometimes when our services are over, I drive by some of the other church buildings and they're still going strong. So I try not to be eternal in that sort of thing. But again, it instructs in righteousness. So I didn't get my New Testament. Pardon me just a moment. I want to turn to the book of Psalms, 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, and notice what the Bible has to say about that. In Psalms 119 and verse 172, and I'll be there in just a moment. "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." And we have to believe that. And so every time a sermon is preached, it should be based upon the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by the word of God and profitable for all the things that we need in our life." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, "If a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Teaching exactly what they should. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the apostles began to lay upon the hearts of those who were listening to them on that day the understanding that they had committed sin. And they asked the question after he had preached about Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I think one of the reasons why more people don't obey the gospel is because they haven't been cut to the heart. That's something that you take to your heart when you hear the word of God, and there's power within the word itself to cut you to the heart about sin and to make you want to do, as they said, "What shall we do to be saved?" And further over in the book of Acts, chapter 26, we have another statement about this in the life of someone else. In chapter 26, beginning with verse 16, this is on the occasion when the Apostle Paul has seen Jesus. "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And that's a wonderful statement. That just says so very much to recognize the purpose of preaching, the purpose of the Word of God that we'll be able to use. And it should remind us of things that we already know. It's not always something new, because when people start having the idea that they've got to always preach on something new, then they're going to be in trouble. A good friend of mine that I started out preaching with as a teenager in Gladewater, Texas, had the attitude of always finding something new, and it turned him away from God and turned him to error, and he'll never be able to understand what he should again, I'm afraid. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, this is a faithful saying: "If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And so God is God is always the same. He never changes. And we can change, and many times people do change, but we have to recognize that we have to live according to God's word. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, which we've been studying in class, Peter also has some things to say about it in chapter 1. Beginning of verse 12, he said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of those things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Now, what this says is that sometimes you repeat things, and you repeat things because they're connected to other things, and we have to put those things together. And so, verse 13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me." So Peter knew that he was going to die. That didn't change the message. And as we talked about in class, history or tradition has the idea that he was crucified head down in Jerusalem because he didn't want to be crucified in the same position as Jesus Christ. But he knew that he was going to die. And evidently, from all the evidence, he died a cruel death. So what he was saying was very serious and solemn. He wanted them to know things that maybe I've told you before. But he said, as long as I'm in this body or this tent, I'm going to remind you of these things. And so that's something that we have to understand and do, and to exhort brethren to be faithful. One of the things that really is needed today is dedication. The understanding that you're in a relationship with Almighty God, and that you dedicate your life to Him. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the fact that we edify one another when we come into the assembly. Therefore, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the word there is a participial phrase, an assembling of ourselves. Whenever the church meets, I want to be present with the church. That's what Paul was saying, or the writer was saying in Hebrews 10:25. So we need to understand to be faithful to God no matter what. And we understand in the book of Acts of the early church that some people were absolutely put to death and they remained faithful. In chapter 14, beginning of verse 21 of the book of Acts, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Pardon me. One of the worst things that I've seen is when brethren fall away. It's happened here in this congregation. It's happened in times past. And to understand that someone has surely understood about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that Jesus made that I might live, and then to turn your back on that, I just really can't understand that. It's not in my mind to understand it. But it tells me, well, just like Peter in the book of Galatians, Paul had to rebuke him because he was playing the hypocrite. So none of us are above a sin if we recognize that Peter could do that. And we have to examine ourselves and be dedicated. And if we make a mistake, then we make it right. We don't give up and follow on to be faithful to the Lord. Sometimes a sermon needs to reprove and rebuke. That's why the word is there. To reprove means to speak out in disapproval. To rebuke means to reprimand a sharp disapproval. That's what Paul did to Peter. And that's what Peter did to Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. And there are times when that must be done, even though it's something that if you're looking for popularity, you won't ever do this. But if you want to preach the gospel, you'll have to be ready to do that. Jesus did that in Matthew chapter 15 when he talked about the narrow way. Stephen did that when he preached as he was about to be stoned to death. And he understood that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're to preach the word in season and out of season. And I understand that to mean when they like it and when they don't like it. You preach the word. I have a responsibility to be right with God before I have a right to be right with you. And I have to be sure that I don't slight something. That's why Paul said he shunned not to preach the whole gospel. And somehow that's what we must try to do as well. And so we want to comfort the faithful. We look at Romans chapter 15. Those things are written beforehand for our learning and for our admonition. You look at the life of Abraham, you look at the life of Esther and different ones in the Old Testament, and it's a wonderful tribute that we can be comforted as well. And Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, pardon me, and he had these things to say to them in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. And he's been talking about the resurrection and the fact that some were going to fall asleep, they were going to die. But he talked about the coming of Christ, the reward of Christians, and we are to comfort one another with these words. And truly it is something. I felt comforted this morning in the class, Brother Parvin teaching, as we looked into the Peter's epistles and talked about the things that some are calling virtues that we're to add to our diligence, diligently add to our faith. You see these things, and it said that if you do these things, you'll never stumble, but you'll have an abundant entrance into heaven. Those are such good things. Sometimes life gets difficult. Sometimes it gets monotonous. And sometimes we get discouraged because things don't work out the way we'd like to. But when you think about the promises that have been made by the Word of God through Peter and Paul and others, it is so comforting to have that knowledge that we are in God's mind and He wants us to be saved. But we have to warn against error. When the Apostle Paul called the elders at Ephesus over to Miletus, he warned them that from among their own selves men would arise speaking perverse things. History tells us that's exactly what happened as the Catholic Church was formed. And we're not to just accept everything, whatever the preacher says, unless you look it up in the Word of God. And so we turn back to 2 Peter again, in chapter 2 this time. And Peter warned, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring in themselves swift destruction." That's going to happen. It is happening. And false teachers, some brethren some time ago tried to say that it was not false unless someone had a bad attitude. But you know, words can be false and be beautiful. We have to recognize that we recognize false doctrine because it opposes truth in the Bible. No matter how eloquent somebody might be, we'd have to understand that. And 1 John 4:1 says to try the spirits to understand what they are. We have a lot of warnings against disobedience in the Bible. We're not to be rebellious people. We're not to be people that speak out against God. We're not to be people who try to change the church. We've talked about the change agents in the world today among churches of Christ, and there are many of them, and they want to change things. Hebrews chapter 5 warns about those who, by reason of time, should be teachers, but they have need that people again teach them the first principles of the gospel of Christ. And so we have to worry about that. And then Matthew 23, that harsh chapter by Jesus against hypocrites that taught false doctrine. And so we have to be very careful about that. And here's where you come in. You do not take everything that I say at face value. I notice that many of you have digital Bibles. You check behind me, and that's what I'd like. I remember one preacher said he wanted to hear the pages turn when he preached. Well, today it's not so much people turning, but looking at their telephones and pads and things like that, which is fine. It's a wonderful thing that we can take the Bible with us everywhere we go today. And of course, we even have the Bible on our website. And I do want to press you not to get accustomed to just forgetting the website. Be sure that you have some cards with you. Be sure that you pass them out, using whatever method that you want to do. But this thing is something that represents the gospel of Christ to the entire world. And it's an opportunity that you have to be evangelistic when you remind people of the website. So I'd like to encourage you to do that very much. And so the gospel must be preached in love. It's not a chore. It shouldn't be received as something that's boring. The gospel is preached in love because John says God is love. And because God is love, the gospel of Christ is coated with love. Should never leave the impression that people can get by without obedience. And I think you know well enough that here we talk about obedience and faithfulness and dedication because that's what we need very much. And so the preacher cannot be a man pleaser. Paul said that if he preached to be pleasing to men, he wouldn't be pleasing to God when he talked about the Galatian letter. And so I have a responsibility beyond anything else. If I'm going to be a preacher, James warned, don't be many of you teachers, brethren, because you'll have heavier condemnation. And I recognize that if I stood up here and preached error, that God would judge me. And so my dedication is to preach truth, but I'm a man, a human being, and I might make mistakes. So walk behind me looking at the scriptures to be sure that it's right. And God wants everybody to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what we have to continue to teach and to preach. As I say, and as I really mean it, let's go to heaven together. I want to see you on the other side I don't know what you're going to look like, but I do believe that we'll know one another. And it's going to be a wonderful thing when we can get off in a corner somewhere and just talk among ourselves. But let's go to heaven together. If you're not a Christian this morning, we preach the gospel of Christ that began with Jesus in Mark 15 and 16, and Matthew 28, the Great Commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's an eternal gospel. As long as man lives, that's exactly what we ought to teach and to preach. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ in any way, you'll find us willing to help as we stand together and sing the invitation song. Thank you.